Lecture 8, Playing with the Illusion of Santa Claus. The Seminar Santa's Gift Program to Me, How I Train My Genie Stem Cells. Wild ideas of what Santa Claus does. What does Santa Claus do? Where does Santa Claus go? What does Santa Claus do? Does Santa Claus, as we said before, come down the chimney? Does Santa Claus come through the window or the door? We've seen movies on Santa Claus, and they're very interesting movies, but they seem to lose the gist of what Santa Claus is. The movies that we have seen on Santa Claus make Santa Claus into somewhat of a buffoon, somewhat of a being that doesn't know what's going on. Although Santa Claus has this wonderful responsibility of going around the world delivering toys to boys and girls everywhere, they make him out to be sort of a stupid person. They make him out to be somebody who can be fooled, somebody who has needs, and these needs can be met somehow. Now you say, well, Herb, why are you talking like this? Well, all people who make Santa Claus out to be something who is human fail. Because every time we think of a mystical being and we think of him as a human being, he fails. How in the world could Santa do the things that Santa is supposed to do if he is a human being? How could Santa live year after year after year and do all the things that he does, go all the places that he does, achieve all the good that he does? And did you ever ask the question? Probably not. How does Santa Claus get a hold of his mail? Who delivers his mail written from children all over the world to the North Pole? I don't think the North Pole has a post box. I don't think that they have any type of delivery system. How does it get there? Well, Miracle of 34th Street has him coming to the dead end mail of the post office and piling up there and piling up there because they can't throw mail away. That is not proper. Although I'm sure there's a law in the mail system that mail that is lying around for over 7 years can be destroyed or you know, whatever. But think about it. All these things I'm saying to you now, are they things that have perhaps passed your mind? Are they things that have made you wonder about what Santa is? Is he a myth? Now, let's turn to another mythical character that we spoke of before, the Easter Bunny. What does the Easter Bunny do? Well, now, the Easter Bunny is not so complicated like Santa Claus. The Easter Bunny just brings eggs to children all over. Just brings colorful eggs, colored in very wonderful ways. Chocolate eggs and regular eggs. Brings them in a basket. The basket has straw in it. Now, in the original days, the straw was really straw. It was straw from the field. But as it became more sophisticated, they had straw made out of this paper or plastic material so that it was easier to handle. But what does the Easter Bunny do? Does anyone ever try to really portray themselves as the Easter Bunny? Does Mommy ever say she's the Easter Bunny or Daddy is the Easter Bunny? No. The Easter Bunny remains that mythical character. That mythical something that is so far out. And as Sylvia so lately came up after she had the opportunity to do it on time, but she came up with it afterwards, and she remembered the name of those guys, excuse me, those guys who were up in in Ireland. Remember those guys? Remember those guys? What'd you call them?
Leprechauns.
Leprechauns. So, you know, she didn't think of it at the time we were talking about. She thought about it after, while we're having dinner. So, what are these leprechauns? Do these leprechauns have a persona, an attitude, a charisma, a way of life that's duly just their own? Sure. Do the gremlins who live under the ground in the roots in Germany and Czechoslovakia and other countries, do they have a persona? Do they have a way of life? Yes, they do. Does anyone try to change that? No. They try to perhaps enlarge upon it a little bit, but not change it. But Santa Claus, people want to change. Because Santa Claus is bigger than life. Santa Claus is so very special. Now, you say, well, Herb, why are you giving Santa Claus so much time? Well, I'm giving Santa Claus so much time because what we do to Santa Claus, we do to ourselves. Each one of us has a mystical side. We have a magic side to us. We have a side that can come down chimneys. We have a side that can travel the world, that can be anywhere in the world. We have a side that can do all the things that the alchemists do in their wonderful program. Why is it people keep coming up with this magic, with this mysticism of what goes on? Why do people keep doing that? Well, because it's true. It's true. And why is it that it's secret? It's secret because if everybody knew how to do it, then there'd be no mysticism to it. There'd be no mystery to it, no wonderment to it. Does everyone know how to do it? Of course. Does everyone do it? No. Now, you must be worthy of doing it to do it. Now, Herb, you never used the word worthy for anything. Now, why are you using it for here? Well, you must be worthy to do this mystical stuff, because if you don't, you get yourself into a lot of trouble. I've explained it, and I'll explain it again right now. Each one of us has the ability to be anything we want to be, go anywhere we want to go, think any thought we want to do. We have the ability to levitate, teleport, walk on water, walk on float through the air, do anything we want to do. We have the ability, which is binding itself upon one little factor. And that factor is, do we have the ability to believe in ourselves? Now, you say, that's kind of tough. Believe in ourselves? Yes. Now, I say, Sylvia, you have the ability to speak your word and instantly have it complete, right this second. And you're doing it all the time. On other dimensions, you're doing it all the time. It's the natural, most natural thing in the world for you. Ingeborg, you have the opportunity right now to speak your word, and it is done for you instantly, right now. But, I say, Anita, you have the right and the ability. Gertrude, you have the right and the ability. Ellen, you have the right and the ability. Christina, you have the right and the ability. But, you are misusing that ability very, very terrifically. You say, I want good for everyone on earth. I want peace for everyone on earth. I want happiness for everybody on earth. And then, some people are not nice. And you see them doing something not nice in a movie, and you say, kill them. My goodness. That's not nice either, is it? When you say that in that manner of form, do you have a bad thought about anybody, including, especially, yourself? Did you ever say you can't do anything, Gertrude? Mm-hmm. Did you ever say that is wrong? these people are mean and hateful, Ellen? Yeah. Did you ever say that you wanted to have your way and you can't have your way, and so you're gonna wish them all unhappiness? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Ingeborg, did you ever say you didn't want a cup of coffee served by somebody for some reason or other? Did you ever say that you didn't want that? You have such a distaste in your mouth for that situation? Yeah. Arr! We have the ability to speak our word and do miracles. And you say, well, Herb, you're sure pushing it in deep here. Yes. We have the ability to do these things. But you're not worthy of it. And the reason you're not worthy of it is because you have allowed in your consciousness both the pro and the con, the negative and the positive. And so long as you allow the negative and positive in you, you are not worthy. Because one second you can say yes, another second you can say no. And that doesn't work that way. You are either God or you're the devil. You say, well, how can that be? Well, it's your consciousness. In fact, you are God. In fact, you are wonderful. In fact, all these things are yours right now to do. But you have said to yourself that you're not worthy of it. You have said, as long as I can have negative thoughts in my consciousness, I'm not worthy of it. If you could ever think a thought, now listen to this one here and see how well this fits each one of us. There's a mosquito on your arm. You slap it to kill it. My God, you'd make a terrible Hindu, wouldn't you? Yeah. The Hindus wear a cloth across their mouth so they don't swallow any little creatures. Because they don't know how many they step on every time they move their feet, but that's okay too. Now, we're not judging somebody else. We're saying, do you ever want to kill something? Do you ever want to kill something that's hurting you? Biting at you? Did you know that every disease in you is a bacteria that is eating away at you and being fed by your unhappiness? You feed this bacteria in you to eat you up. And it is merely something that eats you up. Now, you say, Herb, I think I would have rather stayed at home than to hear all this stuff. Well, that's true. That's true enough. There is a way out. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. So, we all want the light at the end of the tunnel. Not because we're dead, but because we're very much alive. And the light at the end of the tunnel is the light of unconditional love. As you practice in yourself unconditional love for yourself first, never belittling yourself for anything you've ever done or ever thought. Past. Live in the now. Past. You don't belittle yourself for any thought you've ever had. You certainly never think anybody else is bad. But you start wrapping yourself in your unconditional love. Say, I am unconditional love. And I look at everybody with unconditional love. I look at everybody with my big heart of unconditional love. I am unconditional love. I am unconditional love. I am unconditional love. Now, as you say, I am unconditional love, you are putting a cause in motion of being conditional love, right? Ellen's shaking her head. No, no, no! What kind of cause are you putting in motion, Ellen?
I'm unconditional love.
You mean, when you say I'm unconditional love, you're putting a cause of unconditional love in motion?
Yeah.
You mean, you really think that if you say, I am unconditional love, you are putting a cause of unconditional... You really are so of that mind that you think when you say, I am unconditional love, you're unconditional love, you really think that?
Yes.
Well, why don't you do it? Why don't you do it all the time? You knew it was coming. all the time. Under all circumstances. Whenever you get pissed off at somebody, whenever you get shook at somebody, whenever something comes and seems to put you out of balance, you say, I am unconditional love. I am unconditional love. Don't say you're unconditional love, because you don't deserve to be unconditional love. I do. I deserve to be unconditional love. I am the only one who I can work with. And when I am unconditional love, what happens to you? You are unconditional love because you're my reflection. All the world is my reflection of unconditional love. All the world, with all of its experiences and all of its expressions and all of its, so to speak, negativity, it's clean. It's clean. It's put into a clean room. It no longer is touched by anything. Unconditional love. Now, I tell you, if you have an illness or have a problem, you say, I like me, I'm divine order, I'm peace. I like me, I'm divine order, I'm peace. And you say, oh, Herb, come on, now get off of that. Sure. It's easy for you to say that. It's easy for you to say that when that is not your nature. When that's your nature, it's the easiest thing in the world. You know, people are constantly saying things that express what their nature. Why do people read pornographic materials? That's their nature. Oh, no, it's not. I just read it because it's interesting, you know. Why do people go fishing? Because that's their nature. Why do people shoot deer and animals? That's their nature. Why do people want to go out and hurt other people? Why do people go to wrestling matches and boxing matches? You know what that is? When they are boxing each other and wrestling each other, and like the Japanese sumo wrestlers and stuff. You know, the Japanese sumo, he weighs over 300 pounds, maybe 400 and 500 pounds. And they wrestle with each other, and they sit on each other. My goodness, they must crush each other. But they don't. They have an art there. But they put on a show, because people like to think that people are being hurt legally, you know? Why do they have cockfights? That's a rooster or cock of a chicken, and they have spikes put on his feet and stuff like that, and they make them fight. Why do they do that? Why do people gamble? Oh, no, no, no. Herb, you're touching something special here. Why do people gamble? People gamble because they like to take a chance. They don't believe they're going to win. And if they do win, they know they're not going to keep it. They just reinvest it in the casino. But why do people do that? Why do people gamble? Why do people take a chance? Why do people drive their car beyond the speed limit, beyond what the normal road should handle for that time of day and night? You're driving through the fog, and you drive the same speed you do when there's no fog. You should always drive so you have distance in front of you to see how far you know, anybody in a safe stopping distance. Well, why do you do that? Why do you do that? You say, well, I don't do that. Well, the majority of humanity does that. Why? Now, here's a good one. Why does a woman say that her husband is a terrible driver? Why does a woman say, I can't stand you driving. You drive so carelessly, you know. And I can't stand you driving when you're drunk, you know. Well, why would any person create another person driving them drunk? Why would a person create another person driving carelessly? Anita? What would you say to a little child, and you would like to have the little child improve their ability in school? What would you say to them? Chanel. You'd say, you're a wonderful student.
There you go. Yes.
That's so simple. You see how hard it was to remember? It's so simple. You're a wonderful child. You're a wonderful student. My goodness, I'm so proud of you. Diego, you're magnificent. See, he's a good topic for us. But you're wonderful. Now this woman with this, the husband is driving carelessly. What does she say? Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Instead of that, she should just quietly sit there and put the affirmation in motion. I have the most wonderful husband in the world. I have the most wonderful driver in the world. My husband drives with the skill of the most wonderful chauffeur that ever lived. He drives so beautifully. He drives, I don't even know that I'm moving. We come to a stop sign, I don't even know we stopped because he stops so perfectly. You follow me? Now, when do you think of saying that? Not ever. Because if someone upsets you, you immediately respond to being upset rather than responding to the mastership that you can take. Can you see why you're not worthy of having that gift? Now, if you dislike somebody and they do something very mean to you and you just say jokingly, I wish you were dead, drop dead, go jump in the lake, you know, and then they drop dead and you say, well, I didn't mean it, but you said it and your voice is heard. Your voice has power. Your thought has power. And this is why Santa Claus is having such a difficult time. People are not creating Santa Claus like he is to be created. What was the original Santa Claus was created for? The Santa Claus was originally created as a charity organization for people who wanted to give gifts to people who didn't have gifts for their children at Christmas time. And it was a way of having presents taken to their house without making them feel bad. This is Santa Claus bringing it, you know. Santa Claus is not any organization. They don't know about it. But then Santa Claus grew and grew. And pretty soon the department store had a Santa Claus where the little boys and girls would go and ask. But you see, these things grow out of hand. If we want to be a Santa Claus, if we want to speak our word, if we want to... And why did they put all of these wonderful things on Santa, that he comes down the chimney? That he wiggles his nose, you know, like Samantha. Why do we have him have reindeer or mules or animals of various natures in various parts of the world? Why is it usually the red and white suit? With the white ermine fur, you know, why is it that way? See, these are all little traditions that flow with him. And can you tell me what tradition flows with unconditional love? What condition flows with unconditional love? Peace. Peace everywhere. Peace throughout all the world. No feelings of unhappiness by anybody. It's peace. What do they say at Christmas time? Peace. What is Jesus called?
Love.
The Prince of?
Peace.
Peace. Remember, Gertrude? Don't you sing about the Prince of Peace at Christmas time in your gospel group?
Yeah.
You don't? Okay. I must really listen to the words, if I could, in German, of your singers. My goodness sakes. But the thing is, most choirs, the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, they sing about the Prince of Peace. And the Messiah, you've heard of the Messiah? And the Messiah has it, the Prince of Peace. Because this is what this being, this Christ consciousness, represents throughout all the world. Peace. 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 A fulfillment of peace. Now, we have to be at peace ourselves first before we can have anybody else be at peace. You want peace on earth? Well, first be at peace in yourself. Now, think about this. Here we have the astronauts going into outer space. And they're in their capsule. And they're going out into the world, out into the universe. And we say, have a safe journey. Well, that makes it very hard for them. Have you ever thought what you could do individually, just our little group right here, what we could do to speak our word and say, all astronauts and your mission, I surround you with my unconditional love and your mission is fulfilled. And your mission, the mission of the astronauts, is to sprinkle pixie dust or peace dust all over the universe. Isn't that an interesting illusion? Isn't that interesting? Every astronaut is what? A Tinkerbell. Every astronaut has a bag of pixie dust that they sprinkle wherever they are. And they first sprinkle it on themselves, and then they sprinkle it on their spaceship. And then they just float off into space. That's what they're doing. They're just floating. And when they're ready to come back, they have some magnetic or magic or something that directs them right to where they're supposed to go, and it's just the timing they're supposed to land and things. That's magic. Really magic. And for them to go off into outer space and touch base with some vehicle that's passing along, and they're supposed to go and check it out, you know. I mean, in the infinity of space, the billions and billions and trillions of miles, they call them light years almost, you know. We have the intellectual ability to do that. When will we approve of ourselves? Recognize that we have the intellectual or spiritual ability to speak our word and bring about whatever we choose to speak our word for. What does Santa say about the boys and girls of the world? He loves them, every one. Does Santa have any special children? No. Santa is for everybody. Mrs. Santa Claus is for everybody too. She takes care of Santa Claus. And that's just the way it is. And it's so nice. Now, where are you on this beautiful program? Where are you? Do you like yourself, love yourself unconditionally, so completely, that whatever you speak your word about is done? And now, it does not take time for things to be unfolded now. This is something we have to learn too. We want to get rid of the T and the H, you might say. The time and the here. Because there is no time and there is no here. You say, well, all space is here, all time is here, and all things like that. Well, yeah, but it is not. There cannot be a here if everything is in it. There cannot be a now if it includes everything. We need a new word for that. We need a new word for the here and now, timelessness. Timelessness, spacelessness. Now, you think of Hengli back in Switzerland, and you think, well, now it's that time of day there, and that's what he's doing, and you think he's having a good time. And you send him your love and your blessings. And you feel a warm glow in your heart because you send him your warm glow of love and blessings, right? You feel just good. Now, do you know what's happening to you? You are living and being a living example of unconditional love. Because your unconditional love as you think these wonderful thoughts about yourself and all in your world. It's great. It's really great. Now, is this what you want for yourself? Kind of nice, isn't it? Christina? Why don't you do that all the time? If it feels so good to think unconditionally loving thoughts about somebody you love, why not do it all the time? Why do you ever allow yourself to have a thought that makes you feel uncomfortable? Ever. It's stupid, isn't it? Why do you ever allow yourself to have a thought that something is not fulfilled? You know? Why? Why do you ever allow yourself, Gertrude, to think that you are not the most magnificent being that ever lived? And you are, you know. Are you unconditional love?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And as unconditional love, can you have any condition ever in your lovingness? No. And what does Jesus do? He said, let the little children come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. You see, we want to enter into this beauty and this wonder and this magic. And he drew a circle to exclude me. And how does the rest of it go?
Love
drew a circle to include all. You see? He drew a circle to exclude me, but love drew a circle to include me or all, however big you can think about it. You see, love is unlimited. Love does not know any boundaries. Love does not know that it's only for you or for me or only the time, you know. We think that love is just for us or love is just for somebody or whatever. But you can't do that. Love is for all. Love doesn't know any wrong. Now, we've had a number of our students and associates who have had children who are in prison. And they found it very hard to accept their children in prison because they had been so terrible. And they see their children terrible. They see their children terrible. They see their children terrible. They see their children. Do you understand me? And every time they see their children terrible, for them, their children are terrible. Now, if for one moment they had such a big heart, that's my son, that's my daughter, that's my child. I love them. I'm with them. No matter what they have ever done, however good or bad they've ever been, I stand beside them. I may not agree, but I stand beside them. I don't judge, but I stand beside them. I love them. I love them without judgment. You see? What do you think is happening to those people who are unable to love their own children? It's bad enough they feel that they didn't raise them properly, that they did something wrong. You understand? That's bad enough. But then to hate the child, that's like hating the principal, because the principal is always there. The child is your creation, is your choice. No matter how good or bad the child may be, you say, I surround you with my pure white light of love. All your ways are peace and all your ways are pleasantness, because all my ways are peace and all my ways are pleasantness. Do you understand? Now, you only feel terrible yourself if you are unhappy with somebody else who is not behaving. Whether it's your dog, your cat, your mouse. Oh, yeah, your mouse, remember? Or your Jiminy Cricket, remember? Or Pinocchio? Did his father, Pinocchio's father, who created him and who designed him, did he ever give up on Pinocchio? Never. Did the good fairy ever give up on Pinocchio? No. She always said, Jiminy Cricket is here to look after you. You see, each one of us have a Jiminy Cricket, our conscience, looking after us. Each one of us is a Santa Claus. And we go around giving gifts of love, unconditional love. We go around giving gifts of peace and harmony and joy. But you see, can you say that one person deserves it and another person doesn't deserve it? Can you make judgments about people in your world and say that these people deserve to have your inheritance and these people don't deserve to have your inheritance? Now, what was the name of the show about the cats? Aristocrats. Aristocats. Aristocrats. Okay. Now, what did this woman, this wealthy woman, do? She called her lawyer to come over and said she really should have a will, should anything happen to her, that her family is taken care of. But she has no children. She has no family. But the cats are her family. The cats are her pure love. And so she left everything to her cats. Now, how are the cats going to dispense the wonderful wealth that they have? They must go through their banker or through the lawyer. And the lawyer looks like he's not going to be around too long. He looks like an old fuddy-duddy. But anyhow, does she have a right to do that? The lady, does she have the right to give her money to a cat?
Sure.
Sure. Now, because her butler, he worked for her, and he was perfectly happy working for her. He never had a thought of money in his life. But then all of a sudden, he heard a conversation that was not by accident. He heard a conversation which said to him, "My gosh, money, 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 you know, I can have all that money. And, you know, I can be living the lap of luxury, and I can do these things." And what did he do? He became cruel and selfish because he wants it all. He didn't know that he was enjoying a very rich, beautiful life, even though his little room was rather shoddy. But he was enjoying a very rich, beautiful life. But he lost his values. And because he lost his values, what happened to him? He got sent to Timbuktu.
Yes. Yes.
And never again would he be included. Interesting, huh? Now, you are sent to Timbuktu. You are sent out of the country. You are sent away from, so to speak, your good. Every time you fail to be unconditionally loving. Every time you fail to recognize that everybody is good and very good. Every time you want to protect anybody. Don't protect anybody. They don't need your protection. Love them. They don't need your love either, but love them. And as you love them, what happens? Everything falls into place. As you love them, every single desire of your heart is met. Because you are like melted chocolate. You just flow all over everything. And make everything taste so good, you know. This takes a bit of training to do this. Because we are so accustomed to being here and there, saying yes, saying no, saying judgment. Now, in the school of the master, what were some of the things that we were learning? Anyone can say one thing?
Non-possession, non-judgmental.
Ellen?
Non-possession, be non-judgmental.
Well, thank you.
One-pointed.
Anybody can help her if you want.
Untouched.
Untouched.
And unconditional love.
That's the
topic.
The supreme, yeah. Now, what all did Ellen just say? Can anyone repeat some of the things she said?
We learned to be non-judgmental.
What?
Non-judgmental.
Very good.
Untouched.
Yeah.
One-pointed.
Yeah.
Unpossessed.
Non-possessed. Now, is that all of them?
Well,
unconditional love's at the top.
Yeah.
Is that all of them?
Self-discipline, self-dedication, self.
Well, that's on the other side. That's on the other side. But that's true too. Okay, now, what are those?
It had a foundation. Self-discipline.
Self-discipline, self-dedication.
Self-determination.
Self-determination.
That's it.
Aren't there four?
No.
Only three?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Only three? Is that right, Ingeborg?
Yes.
I'm sorry, Ingeborg.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. See, if you make other statements,
no,
I don't.
Diligence.
Huh?
Self-diligence.
Oh, there were four. How quickly you were to think that there were not four. See? Now, why are all those words useful?
That the foundation for being non-possessive and
foundation for themselves. Yeah, but now, why is that, Ingeborg, do you know why that's so important?
It's for unconditional love.
It's what?
It brings me to unconditional love.
It brings you ultimately into unconditional love, right. It brings you into unconditional love is always there. But it takes these aspects to be developed in your character, so it's natural. If you are one-pointed, if you are self-disciplined, if you are self-dedicated, self-determined, and self-diligent, and so forth like that, if you are that, if you are loving, if you are so fulfilling in everything you do, then you are unconditional love. The mother runs out in the street, grabs a child, and spanks the child for being in danger's way. Now, why does she feel that she has to spank the child to show the child or show herself that she is unconditionally loving of the child? Nobody knows? Because she allows her emotions to get into frustration. She allows her emotions to take her off of the realm of balance and harmony. Now, can you see a mother seeing her child in danger, dashing out and saving her child from danger, and holding her child ever so gently in her arms and saying, "Oh, you gave me a start. I love you, I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you." Can you spank someone and say, "I love you" at the same time? Not very well. What was the mother really doing when she was spanking? Or anyone doing when they're fighting? They're saying they don't like themselves. They're saying they're letting their anger and their frustration out. And they're not in control of themselves. They don't have self-discipline. They're not dedicated to truth. They're not determined to live a diligent life, following the principles that they should or could believe. See? Interesting, huh? But this is what we do. What's the name of your car?
Storm.
What's the name of her car?
Storm.
Is that really true?
Yeah.
What's the name of her car?
Peace.
That's good. Peace? Love? Yes, love.
She has a full name. It's Storm Otterhoop. Otterhoop? Storm Otterhoop?
Which means
love charm.
Love charm?
Yes.
Or love child?
Love charm.
Lost charm?
Love?
Love?
Charm.
Charm.
Yes.
Love charm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's what she is.
Okay. But Otahu means love charm.
Yes.
But storm means what? Confusion.
Yes.
Storm means violence. It means imbalance, lack of harmony, and so forth.
Emotion.
I'm sorry?
Emotion.
Oh, sure. Those are all emotions, yeah. It's emotion. And what does love...
Otahu.
Otahu? What does that mean?
Love charm.
What does love charm mean?
Peace.
Can you see why it fights against itself?
Yes.
I'm not telling you to change its name.
No, I see that.
I'm telling you that emphasize the love charm. But truly. Yeah. Isn't it interesting? We have these things about us, and we haven't paid any attention to it. We just take it as a matter of stride. Now, what is Anita?
Anita is
Is Anita a love charm?
Yeah.
How could she coexist with violence? You can't, can you?
Yeah.
Her boy is a love charm. It's been such a nice name. Why are you trying to mess up my name? I'm not messing up your name. I'm just saying these little things. Do you know why everything in your world doesn't go perfectly? Most things go fine. But there's a few that don't go perfectly. It's because you got a storm in there. Because you have this anxiety. You have this lack of harmony. You know? So it's up to you. And I do not give advice about changing names or doing things. Because perhaps it's something you want to spend the rest of your life working on. What is it, Gertrude? You name it, Gertrude?
Claim it.
And claim it.
Yes.
You name it and claim it.
You're right.
Yeah. And Ellen?
Yes.
Yes. How are your children?
Jeannie.
I'm sorry?
Fabulous. They're fabulous. They're Jeannie and they're...
They're fabulous and they're greedy?
Jeannie.
Oh, geniuses. Okay. Ellen, they're your reflection.
Super.
Right? Okay. So, now, why are you protesting that your children are these things? Are your children being themselves and having fun?
Yeah.
Now, is that a much better statement to make than that they're particular things that you think they should be?
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
See, it's just like unconsciously we say storm, and then we say violence. Or we say they are balanced and they are harmonious and so forth. But they're being themselves and having fun.
It fits the best.
Of course, and it is what you want to say.
Yeah.
Is what you want to say. Because otherwise you get your bloated nothingness in the way of the divine circuits, you know.
Yeah.
And that's never too good. Because when you do that, then you're in trouble. Well, we're supposed to stop now. Okay. All right, now, that's what we did. Wild ideas of what Santa Claus does, improbable concepts of the symbol Santa Claus. I consider what children think Santa Claus can do. What can Santa Claus do?
Anything.
Santa has no rationale, no reason, yet he is real. Have a pause and we'll come back and we'll get on with Lecture 9, Playing with the Illusion of Perfect Health. Enjoy.